I don't know about kids today, but I grew up with hearing proverbs. Not proverbs from the Bible, just homespun kind of proverbs. Things like, look before you leap, stitch in time saves nine, a watch pot never boils, birds of a feather flock together. And there were a lot of those. My guess is people don't hear them as much today, but every culture has proverbs. I wanted to share some with you that are outside the Bible, and then we'll take a look at some in the Bible and think about some of the characteristics here. So here are some outside the Bible, some serious, some not. Anger is a wind which blows out the lamp of the mind. People with tact have less to retract. We learn from experience that men never learn anything from experience. All that is worth cherishing in this world begins in the heart, not the head. If you don't place your foot on the rope, you'll never cross the chasm. Anyone can make a mistake. A fool insists on repeating it. One of my personal favorites coming up here. Excuses are the nails used to build a house of failure. I don't know where these come from. I think I just got these out of a list of proverbs. A brook would lose its song if God removed the rocks. You can think about that one. A calm sea does not make a skilled sailor. That's an African proverb. One of my favorites, a camel is a horse designed by a committee. A candle loses nothing by lighting another candle. And then I came across proverbs that were organized by nationality. So here's some Turkish proverbs. The dog that barks much does not bite. The cock that crows at the wrong time is killed. A defeated wrestler is not tired of wrestling. The fly is small, but it's big enough to make one sick. The sheep separated from the flock is eaten by the wolf. What flares up fast extinguishes soon. The shoemaker's child goes barefoot, or a variation, the baker's child goes hungry. And then we have to do this. Proverbs of Ireland, of course. Never give cherries to pigs, nor advice to a fool. Again, one of my favorites coming up here, you'll never plow a field by turning it over in your mind. That's good, isn't it? Marriages are all happy. It's having breakfast together that causes all the trouble. That one's funny. A scholar's ink lasts longer than a martyr's blood. A turkey never voted for an early Christmas. The longest road out is the shortest road home. And then, unfortunately, I'm starting to discover this next one. The older the fiddle, the sweeter the tune. I don't know about that second part, but I know a lot about the older the fiddle. There's no need to fear the wind if your haystacks are tied down. If you lie down with dogs, you'll rise with fleas. An old broom knows the dirty corners best. It's no use carrying an umbrella if your shoes are leaking. How about this one? Again, we're still doing Irish proverbs. Men are like bagpipes. No sound comes from them until they're full. That's good. If you put a silk dress on a goat, he is a goat still. All right, so those are some proverbs. And then, again, I'd like to do some fun things with the class. So this says, the situation is this. A first grade teacher collected well-known proverbs. She gave each child in her class just the first half of the proverb and asked these children to come up with the remainder. Now, keep in mind, they did not know the real proverb, and so they were just guessing. I thought these were pretty funny. Better to be safe than punch a fifth grader. You can lead a horse to water, but how? Don't bite the hand that looks dirty. You can't teach an old dog new math. The pen is mightier than the pigs. An idle mind is the best way to relax. Where there's smoke, there's pollution. A penny saved is not much. Two's company, three's the musketeers. Don't put off till tomorrow what you put on to go to bed. Laugh and the whole world laughs with you. Cry and you have to blow your nose. Children should be seen and not spanked or grounded. How about this? If at first you don't succeed, what's the children's response to that? Well, how do they think that proverb ends? If at first you don't succeed, get new batteries. I like that one. That was a good one. So, those are examples of proverbs, aren't they? Now, the Bible, of course, there's a book of proverbs, but I want to show you other places where there are proverbs. I don't want you to be thinking that there's one book and that's the only place you find them, because proverbs are popular. They're all over the place. And it's true with the Bible as well. Proverbs occur in the Old Testament and the New Testament. In fact, well, let's start with a couple from the Old Testament. I'm going to Ecclesiastes. So here's Ecclesiastes 5:10. Whoever loves money never has money enough. Isn't that the truth? People that really love it, you'd think there's got to be a time where they say, okay, that's plenty. I don't need any more. Not true. Ecclesiastes 9:12. So we're moving just a few chapters over. As fish are caught in a cruel net, or birds are taken in a snare, so men are trapped by evil times that fall unexpectedly upon them. That's a little longer than some of the Proverbs, huh? How about the New Testament? Let's try a couple of examples. I'm going to the Gospel of Luke. I'm going to Luke 9. Slowly, but I am going there. Luke 9:62. Jesus is talking to some potential disciples, and some of them say, oh, I'd like to go with you, but let me do some other things first. And Jesus says, no, you got to go with me. And finally, he says at the end of the chapter, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service in the kingdom of God. That's like a parable, isn't it? It's short. Well, we'll talk about the characteristics, but that struck me as a good parable. Let me take you to Galatians, a small book written by Paul in the middle of his letters here, Galatians 6:7. Paul says, do not be deceived, God cannot be mocked, and then here it is, a man reaps what he sows. A very famous one there. So, you've heard some funny ones, you've heard some serious ones, you've heard kids try to finish Proverbs and coming up with pretty bizarre answers. What would you say the characteristics are? Well, let me tick off my list, see if you've got some of the same ones here. They have to be simple. Right? I mean, they're all very short, very simple, and yet there's something profound. They make some kind of statement about life. They have to be specific. They tell about animals, or they tell about a specific situation, and yet those specific situations, in a sense, are symbolic of general aspects of life. They should be memorable. Did you notice English ones either have some sort of parallelism going on, or they have a repetition of a key sound, a stitch in time saves nine. Do you hear the rhyme there? Birds of a feather flock together, the feather flock. So you can tell that there are little memory tricks going on. It's pretty easy to remember a proverb. I would say they're very poetic. They involve figures of speech. And then they do involve some kind of insight into human experience. They're trying to collect and put together and summarize some key aspects of human experience. Here's a quote that I picked up, can't remember where, and I want to read it and then slow it down, go through it with you. A proverb enables us to master the complexity of life by bringing human experience under the control of observation that explains and unifies many similar experiences. Okay, that was a mouthful, but what does it do? It says the goal is to do what? To master the complexity of life. Life is complicated. We bounce through a day, we bounce through a week, we ricochet through a year. All these things are happening to us, and usually we're caught up with one thing at a time, and it'd be nice to master the complexity of life, to somehow rope it in and to organize it some way. Oh, how does a proverb help us master the complexity of life? It says, you bring human experience under the control of observation. So you look, which means you have to be old enough to have observed a lot of this, but you look around and you notice what people have gone through and say, huh, it looks to me like, and then you can come up with a statement. And what does that statement try to do? It tries to explain, and the key thing, it tries to unify many similar experiences. So you're classifying in a sense. That's a very good mental exercise, right? That's some higher power at work there in your mind to be able to look at life, to organize, to classify, to group ideas, and to say these things tend to happen to people. And so that's what we get. Now, at this point, I would like to look at the book of Proverbs, because there's a lot of people get confused about Proverbs. They see, instead of what we just talked about here, they see Proverbs as some sort of promise that this is telling us how life will go. Well, is that true? Let's take, for example, Proverbs 10:27. Here's what it says. The fear of the Lord adds length to life, but the years of the wicked are cut short. So that's Proverbs 10:27. So people say, great, so I'll lead a life full of awe and reverence and respect to God, and I'll live till my 80s or 90s. And then they look around and they say, well, good thing, it says the years of the wicked are cut short. And then they see sweet people, very religious people, dying young. Then they look around and they see some wicked people just keep going and going and going. We all probably have our list that we can think of particular people in each category. We say, why is that? What, didn't it promise something in Proverbs? No. What does it do? It says it tries to unify experiences. It tries to give us general knowledge. But keep in mind, that's exactly what's going on here. It's giving us general ideas. Think of bell curves. You've seen the bell curve, where a large number occupies the center, smaller numbers occupy the edges. So the majority of cases fall under the middle of the bell curve, and a few cases fall at each end. So when they say, in this case, the fear of the Lord adds length to life, but the years of the wicked are cut short, that's what you can generally, underline, generally expect, but not always. Now, I would say, even though we know people who are exceptions to this, I think it's generally true. People that live a clean, morally healthy lifestyle are probably going to live longer. They're not going to abuse their bodies. They're not going to engage in some kind of risky behavior that may cause them to face death. So probably that's true. That's the bell curve. But out at the edges, there are going to be some people, you know, people like that. They've raised Cain their whole lives, done all sorts of crazy things, abused their bodies, taken the drugs, overdone the alcohol, smoked all the time, and they lived to 95. Maybe had an uncle or an aunt or cousin or somebody like that, and you just scratch your head. How do they keep doing it? But that's the person out on the edge of the bell curve. Generally, this is going to hold true. So that explains, even if you think about Proverbs, they're not biblical Proverbs, that they sometimes will contrast with each other. Let me give you one example. You can finish this one. Out of sight, and the other half, out of mind. Out of sight, out of mind. What does that mean? When you're not around somebody, and you can probably think about high school friends or whatever it is, or adult friends, and you move to a new town, when you're out of sight, you're also out of their mind, and they don't contact you like they used to. Maybe Christmas cards, things like that, but you really have lost track of that individual, and you're kind of sad about it, and you try a phone call occasionally or whatever, but out of sight, out of mind. Okay, there's another side to it, another proverb. How about this one? Absence makes, do you know the rest of it? The heart grow fonder. Absence makes the heart grow fonder. So what does that say? When you're away from somebody, you appreciate them more. You realize how good it was to have them in your life, and you contact them, and you keep up, and you maintain that kind of relationship that you want, because it's dear to you. So there we go. We have two proverbs that try to explain life, and unfortunately, you'll find true experiences in both camps. So, if you turn, for example, let's take Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22:26. Proverbs 22. Actually, let me go to a different 22:6. About 22:6. Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Is that true? Is that always true? I bet you know either friends or parents, somebody who has put this into effect, right? They have trained their children in the best that the best way to be, and they've been good about it. They haven't abused these kids, and yet something goes wrong and they get older, the kids, and they rebel and they turn out not to be such great people. You may know some that didn't raise their kids particularly well and the kids turned out well. But this is the way to go, right? This is the way to bet on this kind of thing. Go next door, a couple more chapters, Proverbs 26. I love this back-to-back clash between Proverbs 26, verse 4. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you will be like him yourself. Okay, so when a fool does something idiotic, just stay away. You'll just get stuck in it. Right next door, verse 5, same chapter. Answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes. So straighten him out. Now what does that mean? That those are exact opposites and somehow this is irrational to put them next to each other in the Proverbs? No. What do you think it's saying? You decide. Is this the kind of person who can benefit from you, or is this the kind of person who's just going to go over that cliff anyway and you might as well just stay out of the way? You use your own wisdom. You decide how you want to handle that. And so I like this because it's not a robotic sort of set of statements here. You use your own wisdom in the process. How about Proverbs 29:12? If a ruler listens to lies, all his officials become wicked. Well, is that always true? No, probably not. Let's try another in Proverbs 15:25. The Lord tears down the proud man's house, but he keeps the widow's boundaries intact. Always? No. It'd be nice. That's what we'd like to see, but not always. So, when you look at Proverbs, slow down. They're concrete, right? They're specific. They give you a picture in your head, but they're trying to describe a general aspect of life. And some of them are clever. I love the use of language. I love the figures of speech that they'll use. Like a dog returning to his vomit. And they'll finish the statement. Well, that's probably more in my head than I really want it to be. But I love the insights into human experience. You can go online. You can find dozens of these things. Let me end by just quoting a few lesser-known proverbs that I think are wonderful. Tell the truth and flee. If there is no wind, roll. Row. If there's no wind, row. How about this? A rabbi's wife has long hands and small ears. That's a Yiddish proverb. If you have no arrows in your quiver, go not with the archers. When the cart is broken, there are many straight roads in sight. Here's one I think is a fun one. If a man says he's going to swallow an axe, hold the handle for him. Okay. Well, those are, I don't know if you'd say those are ones to think about, but there's a cute board game out on the market in case you're interested. It's called Wise and Otherwise. And what the board game does is it gives you the first half of a proverb, but they're unknown. And so you try to finish it. And you're bluffing. There's several of you, and you're bluffing, and only one really has the correct answer, and somebody else that doesn't know tries to guess which is the actual proverb. So you can try creating your own. Anyway, that's it. We'll look at Gospels next time.